This is Karen Lyle of Salesport Talk in San Francisco, and I'm here with Chief Warrant Officer Leo Zappawa with a message from the U.S. Coast Guard about ocean safety.
The Coast Guard is just one piece of a greater effort, valued partnerships, and I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize the hardworking folks that the Coast Guard works with every day at the city, county, state levels in California, and of course, our federal partners. And I understand that during these difficult times with regards to COVID, a lot of folks are maintaining their mental wellness through exercise. And the majesty and the power of the ocean are oftentimes inviting places to go and see and be socially distant. Unfortunately, with these larger waves we're experiencing along the California coast, it can also be very easy to become complacent and not pay attention to what are commonly known as sneaker waves, or waves of higher magnitude that are infrequent and unexpected at a coastal area. All of us who have enjoyed time near our beautiful area beaches and seashore will see posted signs placed by local officials and when the weather is expected to be adverse. And I would ask your listeners to heed those warnings and take them very seriously. Anytime folks go out in the ocean, we encourage folks to always wear a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. The ones that are orange with retroreflective tape make it a lot easier for folks who are doing the rescuing to locate those people in distress. Unfortunately, we have also had some tragic search and rescue cases occur along the California coast. Most notably were the two search and rescue cases that occurred on the 10th of January at Pescadero Beach State Park and at Point Bonita, and a third that occurred on January 3rd at Blind Beach north of Bodega Bay. In total, five lives were lost in these cases, very tragic. And in all of those cases, those aforementioned sneaker waves overwhelmed the folks on the beach and took them out to sea. And as we all know, anyone who's dipped a toe in the ocean here, it's very cold. It's only about 53 degrees the water temperature, so it's very easy to go into cold water shock and end up drowning, especially in such a turbulent environment. The ocean this time of year almost looks like a washing machine, and although it's very beautiful to view, it's also very dangerous. I want to really convey to your listeners that although the ocean is beautiful on any day when the seas are high, folks should respect how mighty the ocean truly is. Never turn their back on the ocean when enjoying the beach or seashore on foot. If you're going out on the water, either on a surfboard, a sailboat, or powerboat, dress for that cold water environment and wear a life jacket at all times. I always recommend a Type 1, as they're designed to turn most people, even if they're unconscious, face up in the water. Finally, the Coast Guard is always hiring young men and women, and I can think of few organizations with such a rich tapestry of storied histories. 230 years of service to our nation. And we in the Coast Guard truly live the service motto of Semper Paratus, or always ready. I joined in 1996 and planned on only doing 4 years, and now in the blink of an eye, it's been 25.
All right, crazy stuff. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast, around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's Tuesdays at 9:40. We check in with SalesportTalk.com, and as always, co-hosting the segment with me is Karen Lyle. It's just Karen and myself today. And Karen, let's start off with the latest from the America's Cup, because on February 13th, we will see Luna Rossa Prada Pirelli, the Italian team, take on the great British team, the Ineos Team UK. First to seven to see who will race against New Zealand in the America's Cup. And that's because you and I, we were let down by American magic. Shut out by the Italians, 4-0. What the hell happened?
Oh, I have to admit, it really got me in the gut. But, you know, and the thing is they tried so hard to get that boat back, you know, on the water for the last of the semifinals. And they were just so close. They were so close. And the major difference for American Magic, I think, is that they just didn't have that time on the water, because they didn't have the time to change the design, which is what the other teams were doing while American Magic was trying to fix that hole in their side.
So, as from reports are, at that area there in Oakland, which they call the Wynyard Corner and the Viaduct Basin, there's a lot of trucks beeping as the America's team breaks down their entire camp, getting ready to just fold up shop and go home. A lot of people like me would see this as these guys had nothing but time to get ready. And you're right, they did capsize and their mast ended up in the water. But what was the Italian team doing when you say they were adjusting?
Well, let me explain a little bit. So when the crash happened, we all saw on video, for those who were watching that online, basically there was a hole in the side of the hull because the boat flipped over and it broke a panel out, and then it almost sunk to the bottom, and there was the big rescue to get it back. So the boat, the American Magic boat, went into the New Zealand teams, which is our defender, basically offered their people and their space to help get it repaired. And so for 24/7, between the time of the crash and the time of the last semifinal that American Magic was scheduled to fight against the Italian team, they were just repairing the boat. But during that same time, the other teams had an opportunity to make changes to their boats based upon what they learned in the races, because this race is so different than other races in the sense that the boats keep changing and the designers are out there and engaged just as much as the sailors on the boat, and they're looking and watching and looking at the statistics and, you know, all of the technical information they're getting and how the boat responds to the wind and the currents and the tides, and then they change the boat to just make it a little bit faster. And so that's not something that American Magic had a chance to do, but the other teams did, and then they raced while it's a design improvement. However much time you have to improve the design and watch what's happening, that gives you an advantage over the other teams.
Well, and it just begs the question that, look, we're not saying that just because we have Silicon Valley and all these great designers here that other nations can't build great craft, because obviously they can, and the Italians are quite bright. But I don't understand how the American team gets just completely shut out. The Italians were just ruthlessly efficient. And it's one thing at the end of the day, you say, look, your design was better, and you know we capsized and you beat us 4 out of 7. But a 4-0 shutout, it's almost like the American team didn't even show up.
Well, these races were close. So, you know, that was something. And you've also got this contest between...
if you ain't first, you're last.
Well, there is no second, as the saying goes, in America's Cup. So when all's said and done, you've got the defender, who's New Zealand, and you have the challenger yet to be decided, who's either going to be UK, who's just doing amazing. Look at what they did the first time. They got 0 out of 4. And then they came back, made some design changes, and then they won all 4 against the other American Magic and the Italian team. And so basically now there's just 2 contenders. We have 2 people for that contending spot. And so by the end, I guess starting tonight for us here in the Pacific Coast and tomorrow for the tomorrow for those who are in New Zealand right now, we'll have the finals and we'll know who the challenger is. And then we'll know going into March who the America's Cup match is going to be between. It's going to be New Zealand and whoever the challenger is. So it's either UK or Italy. We'll see.
Karen Lyles with us, SailSportTalk.com, Piano Finders, phone line 1-800-878-PLAY. You mentioned the UK team, which has now had basically 3 weeks of just watching this. And I know that the captain of the British team said that they tried to simulate a real race. They had chase boats, but they didn't say they were scared. But I kind of read between the lines that there was a little bit of trepidation in the fact that the Italians were fighting a real live competitor and ruthlessly winning, while the British were just going around chasing a chase boat. So, you know, in sports, we like to say a lot of times these wild card teams, whatever sport, they play an extra round. They're hot, while the team that was waiting, maybe they get a little stale. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that is a real issue because, you know, it does take, it takes every single focus of every person on the team, on the boat, and also in the design team to really pay attention and get ahead of their competitor. And these teams are, they have corporations that are set up to run the teams. They have about 100 people involved in them, so it's not just the people on the boat. And it costs about $100 million to put up a team. So it's not a small investment. It's a big deal. Right now, American Magic is breaking down the boat and, you know, pulling the camp apart. And, you know, I think the other teams are looking at that and saying one of us is going to be doing that, too, after this next race.
Now, I was just looking at the pundits who like to take a flutter or a punt, as they say, or gamble over here. And a week ago, it looked like they were going to favor the British team. But now it's basically a pick 'em. They can't decide who's the favorite between Italy and Great Britain right now, Karen.
Well, I think it's close. I mean, actually, it was close between the three before the American Magic was actually... The American team was the one that was the favorite at that time because they...
And that's why they should come home in shame.
Well, I have to mention that the New York Yacht Club that was the defender. It's the only team right now vying for the challenger position that has been a defender, and they have the longest record, continuous record of wins in sports history. That's all sports history. It was 132 years that they had that cup. So we do have to give the New York Yacht Club credit for that. I am sure they're going to be back, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were the challenger on this next time, the one who, you know, what happens is when the next round comes, whoever is the defender, the first person to kind of make a challenge becomes the challenger of record, and then they get to make the rules for the next races. So I wouldn't be surprised if New York Yacht Club is looking to be in that position this next time.
When will we have the 37th America's Cup? Because obviously it goes to the country that wins, I know that, but what's the schedule for having it?
Well, the way that it works is that there actually isn't another cup until there's another challenge. So we have a defender who gets to have the cup, and then some other team, and it could be any team, basically, will come along and say, hey, I want that cup from you, and I challenge you. And they're called the challenger of record. And then when the defender accepts the challenge, then those two, the organizations, the yacht clubs behind those two teams, basically, will make the rules. And so they actually make the rules for each America's Cup and decide where it's going to be each time. So it's not like, you know, football or baseball or, you know, soccer or basketball where a lot of things, you know, there's going to be a Super Bowl, for example. You know, you don't know exactly when, except for that it happens about every 4 years, you know what the tradition is. But you don't know everything because it's new each time.
So that's fascinating to me. I thought it was every 4 years. So you're telling me, I mean, is there a gentleman's or is there a handshake agreement where you have to wait 4 years? I mean, what if somebody comes up to the winner in like August and says, I know it's only been a few months, but I challenge thee. What happens?
Well, it would be a little difficult unless they were using the same boats. Usually America's Cup is pushing the design. They're pushing innovation forward. And so to have it be 4 years, it really is about, you know, how much time it takes to agree on the rules. I mean, we're looking at what happens in the Senate where the Democrats and the Republicans are trying to figure out how the rules of the House are going to be when a major party changes. Well, there's a lot of politics involved in setting up the rules and working with the World Sailing Organization and World Sailing, which does the Olympics, also, you know, will have a hand in administering the rules. So there's a lot of work that goes in. Plus, they have to design a new boat, and they have to decide what they're going to design. So it takes time, but there's a lot of things going along the way that are part of the interest. So it's interesting all the way through that time. It's not just the race. You know, the stories are very interesting along the way.
Very cool. And just have about a minute, but I know on the very last race, when American Magic lost 4-0 in the very last race, they went to the start zone from the left-hand side on port tack. which was a new strategy for them. Was that just because they were running out of ideas and to keep doing what they were doing before seemed like lunacy?
Well, they're having to make a decision based on the wind at the moment, and the wind is variable. So what you want to do is you want to have a starboard tack if you can, because the starboard tack has the right of way, and that can be an issue. You remember in the Bermuda Cup when we talked to the two racers and there was the video of the crash, and Ian Williams from Great Britain that we were talking to shared this little video of Caulfield hit him in the bow. He didn't tell us that he did not have the right of way. He was on a port tack. And so the port tack has to yield for the starboard tack. So those rules apply in the race. And so that's part of the strategy. You try and get something, but if you can't, then you gotta go for whatever's going to get you ahead.
Always learning something new about sailing. Go to sailsporttalk.com. And we, of course, have been with Karen Lyle as we are first hour on Tuesdays. Karen, thanks for coming on again. It's been an education. We'll see you next week.
Okay, next week it is.